start off our last session of the day, so if everyone can make their way back to their tables. We're going to be taking the application that you've just seen Steve and Sarah build and extending it a little further and making it a little richer by integrating AJAX into it and seeing how AJAX and partial pages and things like that work really well with MVC and how you can use it to implement the back end for those types of things. So that's going to be our last session, and then we do have something a little extra we added that wasn't on the original agenda. When Sarah's finished, I put up a slide. I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about the types of things that are coming in the MVC version 2 framework and talk a little bit about the future roadmap. There's not much there. It's very little, but we'll just spend like a minute or two on the end, and then we're going to wrap up. So in the process, I've been told most of you should already have an evaluation form, so please do fill that out. We're really interested in your feedback. At the end, we will be collecting those to do the giveaway drawings for the folks here in New York, and we'll instruct you at the end which way to pass them, whether it's to the left or the right. I don't know yet. We'll figure that out. And with that, I give you Sarah.
All right. So first, before we get started on the AJAX thing, we have something left over from our previous talk that I feel is relevant that I'm just going to run through really quickly. And this is asynchronous. It's not technically AJAX. But partial views are pretty big for ASP.NET MVC because they're very handy. They're reusable. That one? Okay. All right, great. So they're reusable throughout your application. And we can also take a look at how to replicate some of those server controls that we were talking about missing so much. So I'm going to take us back in the application we were working on to the index. And if you remember, we had our action links over here, and we're going to go ahead and take that out in our for each statement. And we're going to put in a render partial call. So partial views, just like a view that lives within your view. It's, like I said, asynchronous. And you can pass in objects just like you would with a regular view. So we're going to call this in product line item. And what we're going to pass in is a product, or rather a product. I think it's product item. I think it's sort of product view model, I think is what we named it. So let's go and create our product line item. And we're going to make it MVC user control. And we're going to go ahead. We're going to make it implement our product view model. And we just have a list item in here. So it looks like what we had before. We have our action link that brings us to details and our model description. But this is a little bit similar to a line item of a repeater or data view, where you would be setting that template. So this is kind of like the same template. So I'm going to go ahead and save it, and then we're going to look at our index page. As you can see, it looks the same with the links and the description, and it acts the same. One thing that we can also notice, so I put it in my products folder. But in order to be able to use it in other controllers and other instances, we can bring it right over to our shared folder because after it looks in the folder that it shared, the folder that's referenced by the controller, if it doesn't find what it's looking for, MVC will look in the shared folder. So I'm going to save that, and I can reload it, and it'll still find it. So that's a bit of a look at partial views. And then we're going to go over to looking at some AJAX with MVC. Where did our slides go?
2 hours?
Mm-hmm. Got it. I'm going to do content.
Content.
Autumn 2009?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Okay, got it. Move that little fuck out of the way. Okay, so I don't know how many people here have worked with Ajax before. It's about half. It's about half of you. Ajax, as a lot of you know, stands for Asynchronous JavaScript and XML. What's so great about Ajax, I don't know about you guys, but I'm super impatient when it comes to being on other people's websites. I have no patience. If I have to sit there and wait for anything, I'm out of there. And one great thing, JavaScript being fast, allows you to manipulate your page without taking a lot of time. So the cool thing is that MVC, as we've learned before, is built on REST calls. Our controller has a RESTful nature, so we can use those as a web service, just like, now have you ever built like an ASNX file with your web forms and done Ajax like that? Has anyone ever done that? Built a web service with your web forms? In web forms, you would have to build a separate service. But in MVC, you can just use your controller and you don't have to do anything new. Oops. How do I go back? I wanted to go back, but now I'm good. So as we saw before, actions can return a lot of different things. One thing it can return is a JSON result, which is serialized, so you can use JSON references. I normally lean towards jQuery. There's getJSON, and there's an Ajax function as well. So we're going to look at that today. Controllers can also, we just saw a partial view. They can also return HTML, and you can dynamically inject your HTML that way. Microsoft also offers a content delivery network for Ajax. I don't think we have a URL on that up here. Maybe we can share that afterwards.
Yeah, we'll share that.
Yeah, we'll put the URL up in the resource slide, but essentially what you can do is when you want to include jQuery or the Microsoft Ajax framework, you can put a script reference and point to Microsoft servers and pull them in, so it'll take a little bit of a load off of your own server.
All right. So let's take a look at some code. I got the hang of this now. I have to do desktop.
There you go.
So this, we're going to be on our index page still. And we are going to add a reference to jQuery on this page. We'll just put those in some script tags here. You want to make sure you have your closing tag, and it's not self-closing. I learned that recently in HTML. You cannot have a self-closing JavaScript tag. Okay, so now I'm going to throw some divs in here. jQuery works off selectors. You can use CSS or IDs, the names of your CSS or IDs. So we have a div called product detail, and within it we have product name, product category, and product catalog source. Now, when we built our partial view, there's the word details in here. Does that come up in here? No, I think we still need to add that. Right? Yeah. No, that's not part of it. Sorry. Okay. So we're going to put a span in here for details. As we can see, the span has an ID that is the ID of your line item. So it's going to pass that in to your jQuery call, as we'll see in a minute. And we just have the word details, and it's of the class details. Go ahead and save that. We'll take a look at our index. Now what we're going to do is we're going to set this so that when we click the details link, it's going to make a call to our where our data is locally, and it's going to populate some of the page with that data asynchronously. So take a look at some of okay, so here is our JavaScript. Now, what it does, so when I click on the details class, it's going to run this get product details, and it's going to pass in the ID attribute of the span. So, and that references our product ID. So we're going to use the getJSON function, and what you see here is we're passing product details and the ID. So let's look at our product controller and our details action. Now, right now, this returns an action result. What we're going to do is we're going to test to see if this is AJAX. So we can test our request and see if it's an AJAX request. And if it is, instead of our action result, we're going to turn JSON result, which will have our data serialized for our JSON function. So it's going to return that product detail model that has the ID and the heading and the catalog code to populate our div.
We had a question come in from online to ask to repeat what a partial view is and how is it helping here with the AJAX stuff.
Okay. So the partial view is separate from the AJAX stuff. But what a partial view is kind of like your user controls now, where they're reusable if you need them throughout your application. And they're asynchronous with your view. They're not technically AJAX because they're not JavaScript or XML. But you can create them asynchronously using your controllers and passing back HTML. So they're asynchronous, but they're not AJAX. Does that answer the question?
I think so. We'll find out.
Okay. so it's just a syntax issue, right? So JSON, AJAX is asynchronous JavaScript and XML. So a partial view doesn't have JavaScript in it by definition. It can, but it doesn't by definition. So it's not technically AJAX, but it is asynchronous from your view. So it's just kind of like a, yeah, exactly.
So repeat the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. The question was, what is the difference between why is a partial view asynchronous and not technically AJAX?
Gotcha.
Okay, so let's finish looking at our jQuery. So we're doing the, I've got really bright.
It was really dark for a little while there.
So we're calling our product details action within our controller. We're passing in the ID, and the getJSON function returns our data. And we're going to take that data and call the fill product details function. So this is our fill product details function, except our data. And what it's going to do is it's going to take these three divs that we made, the product name, product category, and product catalog code. And as you can see, it's accepting our data. And so we can reference the properties of our data directly. So we have the description category and catalog code. So let's take a look at that. Take a look at that view. Build it because I made the changes to the controller. I'm just going to click details. And as we can see, that's very fast. It's updating using JavaScript. And it's getting our data, and we don't have to wait for it. So that is the extent of our Ajax demo. Does anyone have any questions? No, I think that you had a couple more slides, correct?
It's late in the day.
And then,
wait, do you want the NBC Future Theater, or where are we going next?
Yeah, is that, yeah. So, future?
Sure.
Okay. All right, so now we're going to learn more about ASP on the NBC 2 release coming up from Peter.
So we're basically about to wrap up pretty much then. So we've mostly finished the day out. And so we put up a slide here. This is just a little extra bonus I added here at the end. And you're probably thinking, wait a second, I am just like completely freaked out. I just figured out what MVC 1 is. Still trying to get my head around all that. And they're already on to MVC 2. So let's talk about what's coming in MVC 2 or what's going on. So MVC 2 is already in a beta release right now. It had one beta release, and now it's actually on the second. Well, actually, they call it a technical preview release, which means sort of alpha, beta. They don't like using the words alpha and beta anymore, do they, these days?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So
previews and CCPs all the way.
Yep. So what you could do is if you go up on CodePlex to the MVC Future site, and all this stuff is linked from the main MVC website, which is on asp.net/MVC. That's how you can link to all the stuff that we're showing you here today. They have a roadmap document up there about the features that are coming because they know they're going to have a couple more preview releases before this gets to beta. And then there's also posts from Scott Guthrie and Phil Hack on some of the features that are in there. And I threw a bunch of them up here. And Steve has mentioned before, I think the biggest changes here are that there are no big changes. It's a lot of minor little improvements to help with productivity and a lot of stuff here. Because when you look at MVC in general, for the first time, we're enabling or encouraging developers to go back and spend a lot of time writing HTML code using the things like the helpers and how we have all this data binding and things that you can do with the model views. So there's a lot of things that are going to help support that. So let's look at the list up here. The first one, and this is a relatively minor one, depends on what type of team you're on, there's going to be support for multiple projects. They're calling it area support, but it essentially means you can break down your MVC website project into several sub-projects for different areas and groups of functionality within the site. And what that's really designed for is to allow you to split it up if you have a large team and different parts of teams are working on different parts of the website and they can almost pretty much work independently of each other. So they have a version of that in the first preview release and it's only partially implemented according to the documentation I read on that. But with the upcoming preview releases that will be coming, they're going to get that a little bit more rounded out. Again, all these features are still rough around the edges. One of the things also is data annotations. So if anyone's worked with, how many folks worked with ASP dynamic data in web forms? Okay, small handful of you. So in there, there's a lot of tooling around basically easily scaffolding out a web forms website based off of a back-end data store. So what we're going to have in data annotations is giving you better binding to the existing view model and the view model and the model in MVC that is there today. Here, a question. Go ahead. I didn't hear it. It's in Silverlight 2, the data annotations. Yeah. So it's going to be coming here. And what it basically means is I think when you make up your when you build out your model classes, you'll be able to mark them up with attributes, which will help automatically allow MVC some of the tooling to generate some of the forms for you and link things up and do a lot more of the stuff that Steve and Sarah are doing with a lot less keystrokes from you as a developer. So that's a big thing in there. There's going to be strongly typed UI helpers.
So some of the things around those HTML helper methods. So a lot of times when they were working, you kept seeing HTML dot, and all the things you could do with that, and the action links, and building all the HTML things out. So it's going to be more tightly tied to the model. So when you actually go in there to an action link, you'll be able to get better IntelliSense and drill down deeper into it. Again, mostly just more minor productivity things there. For the templating support on the UI helper, it was another thing there. I forgot what that one was, but I'll come back to that. Yep. Yes, it is using Lambda Magic. In fact, they showed that one of the things is when you type in the Lambda, like in the HTML helper method, you get IntelliSense on the Lambda, which is kind of interesting. Minor syntax improvement. So we showed you guys the all the action filters you could put on a controller. So one of the things was if you want to accept a post request, you could put accept verb, HTTP verbs.post. So it'll be HTTP post. So just little minor, simpler things all around the way. Default parameter values. You saw when I was going through the routing earlier today, when I would declare a route, there were three things I had to pass in, the name of the route, the pattern of the route, and then the third thing, which was an anonymous type specifying all the default values. And I had to do that in the global ASAX. Sometimes that doesn't, you would think, why do I have to put that out in the global ASX file? Wouldn't that make more sense to live closer to where I'm actually using it in the controller? So you could actually mark a controller action with an attribute specifying what the default parameters should be for, the default parameter value should be for those actions. So that's a big thing there. And the last big thing I think that was a note was asynchronous controller actions. And this will tie in more with, I guess a little bit with AJAX, but let's say you have a call, a request comes into your controller, and your controller is then going to go off and call some back-end service that's on another server or somewhere else outside your domain that might be long-running or take a lot of time. It can go do that call asynchronously and basically return the control to the return some sort of response to the client, letting them know, yeah, I'm working on this. You started the call. I'm working on it. You can check back later, that type of thing. So it'll help, you know, with performance behind the scenes and that type of stuff. Did you have any? Yeah. So those are the major things there. And a lot of this stuff is still breaking, cutting edge, in that regard. So we'll talk about that. So what I'm going to do now is I have a couple of resource links. These have flashed up between the breaks. All these slides are going to be available in one of two places, or maybe in both. I will definitely be linking to them from my blog, which is peterladotti.com. And I am pretty confident they will also be posted on the Firestarter website, which is at msdnevents.com/Firestarter. I know for certain that is where the recording of today's events will be. If we don't get the slides up there, wherever they end up being, they will be linked from my blog at peterladotti.com. So asp.net/MVC is the main starting place where you go to get all the bits, to get the documentation. There's some really good video tutorials up there. One set that was very recently published, it's a set of three videos. Two of them are 10 minutes long, and the third one is an hour and a half long. It's 90 minutes. And it's really the why, the how, and the what of MVC. You know, why should you look at MVC? What are the benefits of this? What is MVC? And then the how video is the 90-minute one. They really do something very similar to what Stephen Sarah did, which is just dig into a real-world app interacting with the database with the create, update, delete, and all those things. That's all linked off of the main site, which is asp.net/MVC. One thing we didn't talk too much about today was the MVC Contrib project. So MVC Contrib is an open source project up on codeplex.com. You can do a Bing search for MVC Contrib and it comes up pretty easily there. And what that is, you've heard us talk throughout the day about the extensibility in MVC framework. All throughout the whole framework, whether we're talking about replacing the ASPX view engine with a different view engine or bringing in a different controller factory so we can do dependency injection, even the routing. There's some folks out there who were trying to do all this clean URL business way before Microsoft came out with MVC and had their own custom URL rewriting scheme. There are APIs that you could plug into and say, use your own routing engine instead of the one Microsoft provides. Now, I don't expect most people are going to do that, But those are all things that are available at these different plugin points. Well, if you look at the MVC contrib project, you'll see that there's a lot of community contributions in there that plug into these accessibility points that you can use if you want to use alternative solutions to extend within MVC. So there's a lot of valuable things out there. An example, we talked about the dependency injection. There are about 5 or 6 different dependency injection container frameworks out there if you want to use that to configure and link up how your controller calls into the back-end services you'll call into. So in MVC contrib, there are plug-in controller factories, which you would need to link to each of those 5 or 6 DI frameworks out there. So that's an example of the types of things you'll find up there in MVC contrib. So definitely a good thing to check out there. If you want more resources, someone mentioned to me in the hallway, are there any books on this? The answer is yes. Go to Amazon, search for MVC, go to Barnes & Noble, search for MVC. This is just a sample I put together at lunchtime today. There's a ton of books out there. The one on the left is kind of big, and not that I'm saying it's any better or worse than the others. I don't know. I haven't actually read through it. But it is written by the guys who wrote the MVC framework. So I would think it gets some level of credibility just for that. So you see Scott Hanselman, Scott Guthrie, Phil Hack, and I forget the other gentleman's name on there. Rob Connery, the other guy up on there.
And another note on that, someone, I don't know if you have a slide for this, but someone asked me before how I learned it, MVC, and I found a really great, those guys put together a sample product project, which is actually in production called Nerd Dinner, it's all MVC, and it's a great setup. So I was able to use it as a reference a lot when I was learning, so I definitely recommend it. Nerd Dinner.
Nerd Dinner. It's a sample app that was done by Hanselman, right? Scott Hanselman?
I think it's a collaborative.
Collaborative? Okay.
Isn't it a working project for the book?
I believe we were saying the Nerd Dinner is the working example used in the book that's on the left side there. Yeah, no, you can definitely download the code. Everything's online, but I think that's the example of what they used in the book. So.
That's the one in action. So I think I think if you look at these, let me get the mic. Okay, so one of the challenges that you have with these books is that they all have titles that don't really say whether they're introductory or advanced or any of those kinds of things. The couple of these that I am familiar with, the ASP.NET MVC in Action book is an excellent book, but not a good first read if you're unfamiliar with the framework. It makes the assumption that you are familiar with how the framework works and want to find good patterns and practices for implementing them. There are some chapters that give a little brief introduction about sort of what's a controller and how does it work, but not in a lot of detail because they assume that you're coming to that book with a decent working knowledge of the framework. It is a tremendously good book. I mean, after you have gotten yourself to the point where you're comfortable moving around the framework, it's an excellent second read, you know, as your second book on MVC kind of a thing. The other two that I can speak about are the ASP.NET MVC 1.0 book on the left there is a very good introductory book. So if you don't know, you know, if you don't know anything about the framework sort of other than what you heard here today, for example, that's a really good start for you. The Pro ASP.NET MVC framework book is also a very good read. Probably kind of bridges the gap between the ASP.NET MVC 1.0 and then the MVC in action. So, and the other books are probably good too, but I can't really speak to them, frankly. But in a sense, you sort of have ASP.NET MVC 1.0, and then if you sort of follow the arc across the top, which just by chance leads to ASP.NET MVC framework, and then ultimately to ASP.NET MVC in action, I would, my own personal recommendation would be for probably reading those in that order. That's obviously a lot of MVC books, but the point here is that there's nothing here that says, you know, a good first start or only after you're intermediate or any of those kinds of things. So it could be easy to buy a book that's slightly above where you are in terms of, you know, your own learning, obviously, right?
I think the takeaway there is there's a lot of good information out there. So, you know, this framework has had huge popularity just by virtue of, look at the amount of people that are here today in this room. So there's a lot of people who want to learn about this, and there's a lot of good information out there. So what I want to do now, and we're going to start wrapping up at this point, but and before we collect the evals and stuff, I'm just going to open it up for about 5 minutes to general Q&A. So I know a lot of folks probably have some questions you're thinking of. The three of us will take questions. We'll go for about 5 minutes, unless you guys keep pressing us. And let's say about 4:20, 4:25, we're going to stop and
start collecting the evals and wrap up the day here. So we'll open up right there. Gentleman in the red shirt, go ahead. Question is there support for scaffolding in MVC?
Okay, so the answer is yes. And so that we're all on the same page, let's talk about scaffolding. So scaffolding is the concept that I should be able to have typically some templating engine, but some kind of dynamic generation of initial sort of create, view, edit, and delete sort of pages constructed for me. Templating is an idea that's found a big home in the Ruby on Rails environment. And in MVC, although we didn't demonstrate it today, because you know part of this was to keep it simple and so on, when you actually do create a controller, or rather create a view rather, there is the ability to go on ahead and say, yes, in addition to doing what, when we created the controller, it said you want to stub out the create, delete, edit methods and so on. There's a similar behavior available when you go through the sort of create view process that allows you to check a box saying, yes, I want some templated views that handle these kinds of CRUD operations on my data. They're not bad. I mean, it's a templating engine that you can control to a degree. You can customize the output. For those of you familiar with the T4 templating engine that's been in Visual Studio since 2005, tech templating transformation, forget what the last T is.
T4?
Yeah. What's the last T? Yeah, tech templating transformation toolkit?
Toolkit.
I'm not sure. There are four T's, which is why it's called T4 instead of by its full name for obvious reasons. But the MVC scaffolding, when you create the view scaffolding, does use the T4 templating engine under the hood. So if you're familiar with how that works, you have an idea about how to customize it. For those of you that don't know how the T4 templating engine works, you basically have a set of templates that essentially look very much like classic ASP pages, where you have sort of tags that have values substituted in them and can generate code and other files from them. So that's been an underlying engine in Visual Studio for a couple of releases, actually, but it's only recently getting popularity as other parts of Microsoft are starting to use it for things like scaffolding in MVC.
We have a question here from online, and I'll address it to both of you guys. It's going back to the controller stuff. It says, does the controller class load threads from a single instance or multiple instances of the loaded class, of the class loaded when there's multiple clients coming in?
Okay, so I'm not sure this is so much a thread question as it is whether or not there's multiple instances of the controller class when there are multiple requests concurrently. I mean, does that feel more like it?
I think that's
so if I have two people requesting home about, do I get two instances of the home controller or just one? By default, you get two, so one per request. So the controller class is not a singleton, for example. However, you actually can do that, and in fact, a fun experience to have some real, bang your head against the wall troubleshooting problems is to accidentally wire your inversion of control container to always return the same controller when it's asked for it, and that can drive you nuts when you're trying to troubleshoot the framework. I speak from experience. So it is not designed to be a singleton, although you can wire it up as such, but it leads to all kinds of strange behaviors because the assumption is that each time a request happens that requires a controller, the controller factory is expected to hand back a different instance of that controller. So you can't have, sort of shared static variables between controller instances and so on. Yes? So the question is that he believes that there is information that Microsoft will be releasing some kind of standard controls library that would leverage jQuery in the MVC environment. So I don't know of anything, and since I don't work for Microsoft, presumably I could speculate. But it seems somewhat reasonable. I mean, I think that one of the challenges to adoption, especially when you take people who are familiar with web forms, is what's my sort of control story? And that's been a challenging thing to answer, I think, historically with MVC. And so it would make reasonable sense that there would be some kind of rudimentary, ability to do that. I have no idea if they're doing so. I would say that in a sense, you don't do yourself much favor by adopting that kind of thing because, it's not clear to me that dragging the JavaScript for the jQuery grid from the toolbox and slapping it into the ASPX page would be any better than me just putting the tag in. I mean, Like there's not a graphic designer surface story for MVC. So Well, so they're already. If you want to get a sense as to how that might be, in the MVC contrib project, there actually is a there actually is a component of that, and I don't know its name right now, but essentially it's a fluid interface that you can use to actually create the HTML markup that is a grid. It's not the jQuery grid, but if you prefer to declare that stuff declaratively by columns.add.width.height.whatever else it might be, it does. Yeah. Yes. So paging and sorting is in, yeah. So the question for people who can't hear is are there good examples of paging and sorting? So there I can't point to any specific examples, but I can tell you that most of the challenge of paging and sorting tends to go back to whether you want to do it server side or you want to do it client side. So in most cases, you've got challenges of, I only want the, let's say the grid in the example, right? I get 200 results. I want to go next page, next page, next page. The challenge there is that you really only want to take the first 10 items from the database, and then later on, take the next 10 items, later on, take the next, and so on and so forth. So the pattern is very well known in terms of, best scalability ways to handle that. I can't think of anything specific really about MVC that would be about that, except that you would need to be able to handle a, during Sarah's demo where we showed retrieving the JSON data and so on and so forth, you'd need to be able to have a controller method which would handle a, start row and an end row kind of a thing so that you can say select from here to here from your database in order to retrieve just the record you want.
We had a question online. What would you have to do to localize a website if you're building a multilingual website that would be available in different languages? I know in web forms we have access to things like the resource controls and being able to pull things up from a resource file, populate control data. How would that work in MVC?
So I'm not sure I can speak to that because I frankly have never done such a thing. So I'll say from the get-go that I don't know, but I do know that much of, to the degree that that capability is actually localization in general is handled in the .NET framework. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be possible to use that same infrastructure to do the same thing with MVC. Whether it be done in the same way or not, I don't know. I mean, do you have any experience with that?
Yeah, I did work on an application in MVC that was a multilingual, and what we did is we stored all the we didn't use a service. We stored all the information in the database and just built it dynamically based on what language was passed in. So whatever was the local language that we were looking for, it would load up our controls using text that we had stored. But I also know you can use services for that, I think, but they're not always as reliable.
Other questions? Sure. So to repeat the question is, are there any good sample applications that demonstrate good unit testing, and not just unit testing, I'm sure, but also sort of what the fully robust-looking application rather than some of the demo code we saw here today? I would probably point you to, so most of these books, like the ASP.NET MVC 1.0 book, have obviously the Nerd Dinner site sample, which has some examples of some unit tests, certainly, and some good practices. The best one I would probably point you to from the standpoint of trying to get a sense so I'll say for the record that anytime you start saying best practices communicated without any context whatsoever are a complete waste of time. So best practices in my context may be entirely different from best practices that make sense in your context, okay? So, but I will say that based on what I know about good software engineering practices and the things that I value in my work, and this is not to talk badly about the Nerd Dinner sample at all, but I personally find that the CodeCamp server sample that's in the ASP.NET MVC in Action book, and you don't need to buy the book in order to download that code. So the CodeCamp server project, which was used as the example project in the MVC in Action book, is probably representative of most of the kinds of best practices, some of which you saw here today in demonstrations, and others of which you might want to consider adopting. I think, in something like a Firestarter like this, we've got a limited amount of time to sort of show code, and You don't want to show pure demo code. You want to show some best practices, but it's obviously not possible to dig deeply into every best practice you might recommend in a one-day seminar. So, but to get a sense of that, I would strongly recommend take a look at the CodeCamp server sample. And you can Google for that. The code's available publicly. Bing for it. Sorry. You can Google it with Bing.
There you go. All right, any last questions from folks here? All right, everyone's tired. It's a Saturday afternoon. We want to go home, right? So let's get ready to wrap up here. I think for the folks online, we're going to be saying goodbye to you at this point.
All this way. I'm sorry. What do we want? We want another.
Oh, I need the projector back online. Sorry, apologies here. So for everyone who's joined us online today, thanks for joining us. We're going to be closing out the audio portion at this point, and I believe they're going to have you guys fill out a survey online also. And we thank you guys for joining us. And we know there were about 130 people online earlier today, so we had a lot of folks, just almost as many as here in the room, online, listening from home. Okay. I'm not broadcasting.